Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Cameron Engler. Cameron, how are you on this fair morning? Is it morning where you are? Afternoon?
It's afternoon, but I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. It's wonderful. So I guess before we dive into other details, can you give everyone just a bit of an overview, I guess, of one, where you are, who you are, and what you do?
Yeah, so I am in the good old state of Georgia. I'm a Southern boy, and I didn't come for money. I sell real estate right now, and you know, I've been doing that for about 5 years. And basically, I'm wanting to take everything that I've learned over the past 5 years, and now I'm starting to help other real estate agents, loan officers, people in that space, to help them take their business to the next level.
Yeah, sure. So how did you actually come to that point of getting into real estate in the first place? Because I know a bunch of real estate agents, like some of them, it's been like their family business, and their mom or dad have been into it. Some of them have been in the construction industry. I mean, what about you? How did you first discover it was like something you wanted to do?
Yeah, so I never wanted to get into real estate. I never even pictured myself as being like a quote unquote business person growing up. But my dad, he was in construction. So, you know, I was always around, you know, houses and work, but, you know, dressing up in suits and open up doors and doing business like that was never something that was talked about or even thought of in my household growing up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of didn't have a choice. I kind of just fell into it. I had went to college on a scholarship. It ended up not working out. And, you know, I had had my son at 16. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that came into play, but I ended up dropping out of college. I think I passed like one or two classes whenever I got there. And growing up, I thought, okay, I'm going to try and go play college ball. I'm going to get a degree, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but you know, that's my only way out is college. Mm. And it ended up not working out. I came back home and, you know, I needed some money. I was working with my dad. I was only making $230 a week construction. And I remember I asked him, I said, you know, Dad, is there any opportunity here? You know, because $230 a week, just, I mean, I got a family to take care of. And at that point, he'd been doing it like 15 years. And I remember he told me, he said, son, I've been doing this for a very long time. And I only make like $1,000-$1,500 a week. You're never going to make anything close to that until you've been in this business 15 years. And at that point, I was like, I got to find something else.
Yeah, it's like a wake up call. Isn't it funny how you at various points in your life, you have certain ideas about what is important and what is sort of defines success, you know, at that point, because I relate strongly to what you were saying before about not feeling like you're like a business person. Like I certainly, I don't know whether I still do. I mean, I know I am, and I've been doing it for like 20 years or whatever, you know, a long time now. So, but I think when in retrospect, I like the experiences with people more than anything. And if that means that then you're a business person, well, yeah, awesome. But yeah, it's like at that point you go, wow, that doesn't sound so great. Therefore, what's what's the next step? It's like, what do you have to do then?
Yeah, yeah.
And so at that point, did you then, how did that then lead to real estate? I mean, in some ways it's housing and it's people. Yeah. So I guess there's sort of a correlation there too, because I know other people who've been carpenters who have become buyer's agents and things like that, and they have like a different, yeah. I feel like it's a bit different from the people that I know. I don't know about you, maybe you can like expand on this a bit more, but I always feel like it's a little bit different when you're coming from that different sort of angle, instead of just, I really feel like I want to sell real estate and make heaps of money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, I literally went and I Googled, what are the top paying jobs for people without a degree? And real estate. Yeah. Real estate, insurance, and I think financial advising was the top three. And real estate seemed to, you know, I'd researched it. It seemed to be, you know, the people on average, I think, made 50K. So I was like, that's it. Real estate it is. And yeah, so that's why I ended up picking it out.
And then you, so you came for that, but how did it become like a happy accident in that you went for that reason? And then once you got into it, how long did you say you do for 5 years? Is that right?
Yeah, it's been 5 years.
So 5 years. It's not just you, is it?
No, it's me and my wife, and we actually just brought someone else on too. So it's growing, man.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's the husband and wife team sort of thing. I mean, that's me too. I mean, my wife and I, we've been partners and also partners in business too. And like it's like a powerful thing you see a lot, and it's a wonderful, I mean, it's just for the sharing, like even if it's for nothing else, like the sharing of what's going on in your business, like it's sort of time saving too, because like your life partner anyway, you know, your husband and wife. So it makes sense on that score, but also that at that deeper level, the things you can talk about with only certain people in business, all the struggles, especially that everyone goes through.
Yeah. 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 I think that's a big part of it. I mean, you know, it's one thing I remember before she got in, you know, feeling like there's only so much that you can share, you know, I mean, you share everything, but once they're doing it with you, you know, that everybody's on the same page. It's there's, you can talk about anything. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that has helped us, is just being putting everything out there and just aligning everything that we want to do, make sure everybody's on the same page at all times. That's kind of one of the things that helped us. I hear a lot of times people are like, man, I could never work with my partner, with my spouse. And I'm like, it's because you don't want to communicate. That's what it is.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, if you're either, I sort of feel like to some extent you're either wired that way or you're not. I know you can learn. Yeah, I'm a big believer too that like I don't really buy the whole thing that once you're a certain way, you can never undo it. I mean, it's probably just harder to undo it, but like you can certainly, it usually means for like a lot of people, they have to go through some kind of extreme scenario, you know, sometimes tragedy, sometimes, you know, whatever it is, like to make you change. But like it's a fantastic, you're absolutely right. Like you like the sharing, but I guess also the other part of it is that's like when you've got another person in that role who's also then your husband and or wife, you can talk about things in a completely different sort of way than you would with anybody else, and especially like from the keeping each other in check side of things, because it's even if you're not some like crazy egotistical sort of person that just goes off on your own, and you know, it's having somebody else to keep you in check and who's better usually at other things than you are is always the case. I mean, and it's super helpful, but it just keeps everyone that bit more sort of humble, ideally. Oh, that's the idea anyway. Whether it actually happens or not, but I mean, it's important. Like I think it's important because you know, if people like working with other people who are nice and sort of humble, obviously good at what you do, but because you've got to be good at what you do, but like to, you know, just, and people can tell, you know, also if you go like husband and wife team and you're both, you know, working through things, at some point it hits various kind of high points, you know, in the business. And is that, so is now 5 years down the track, where do you feel you're at with what you'd like to achieve and what is that? Like, what is it that you, at a high level, I guess, what do you want to get out of all this crazy stuff you're going through?
Man, I just want to help people at this point, man. You know, I mean, I've come to realize, you know, whenever I first started it, it was how can I get some money? You know, I got bills to pay. And, you know, after you get a little bit of that, I've realized that, you know, at a certain point, you have enough money to do whatever you want and take care of anything that you want to do, you know? Mm. Now, if you want to go get a supercar or something like that, okay, cool. But it's still like, why are you buying that car? You know, 9 times out of 10, it's just for ego boost to be seen for something like that. So I've realized like, okay, you got enough, take care of me. But in order to take care of other people, to help other people, help the people around me, that's really the mission that I'm on now. And if I can, you know, inspire, you know, like I'm on this podcast today, if someone could listen to this and they're struggling right now, they don't know what to do, that if I can help the younger me that was making $230 a week, you know, had a kid at 16, went into foster care, you know, that is the mission that I'm on now. And if I could just help as many people as possible, just, you know, I feel like, you know, in the self-development journey, I think the people that really need it the most sometimes get overlooked. Mm. And I really want to make it my mission to, you know, help those people.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think it's like, it's very, it's sort of inspiring too, from the perspective that, you know, what you know, you find important. And I'm guessing I'm saying this too because this is something that I think about a lot too. Like, you think about what's important to you, like in life, and you sort of saying like with money, that's it's very true. At a certain point, it's like having extra doesn't really add, like it's great, yeah, and it's sort of more than anything, it makes you feel secure and you don't have to worry about things. But I always feel like to some extent, once that happens, it's almost like it frees up your mind. It sort of frees up your mind, and like maybe you're, you know, at risk of it's sounding like overly spiritual, but I think it's sort of true. It like frees up your soul a bit too, to be able to kind of go, you know, you would have had to have wanted to help people in the first place, but it's instead of you having to go, I'm too worried about the stuff that's going on in my life to help like other people, like that sort of thinking is, it frees you up to go, okay, now what do I really want to do and what makes me feel great? And I mean, but you know, it's just a natural part of I think life that everybody inherently knows that it feels awesome to help other people out, you know, because it really does. And I mean, that's seeing other people do something great. It's like when you're doing, I mean, even in sport too, I play squash and I like, I mean, I love playing squash, but I love seeing when other people are playing squash and they're having some amazing game. Like it's really exciting. Like it's, I don't know what it's, actually probably is more exciting in some ways that when I'm playing, because you can't stand aside from yourself. You know, when you're doing, you're in the thick of it, but you can see somebody else, oh, wow, that's amazing. You know, they're doing, or, you know, I love a good underdog, like people fighting back. I always find that really exciting. Always like root for the underdog. And just like get over the edge, you know, in a game. But I mean, if you want to say like the game of life too, I mean, that's the case. I love seeing, you know, like in our industry, which is the creative industry, but also the digital marketing and, you know, all that sort of industry, there's like a lot of collaboration in our industry. So it's, I mean, not everyone works like that for sure. You know, it's either you're viewing each other as in a competitive landscape, or you're viewing each other as potentially, there's plenty to go around. There's heaps. Not like
this. It's all made up anyway.
It's all made up anyway. So it's all, you know, it's all there. It's like ripe for the picking. Everyone can go. You know, I mean, it's, I work with like heaps of people like us, and who I'm a bit better at something else, they're a bit better at something else, and you help each other out. Like, is that, what's that like in terms of like the real estate industry where you are, at least? Like, how does that work?
All right, real estate is a little different, man. I mean, there's two ways that you can go about it, right? And I'm glad you brought this up, because there's a huge market shift going on right now in real estate, especially over here in the States, where, you know, so COVID happened, it jacked up all the prices, everybody wanted to sell their house. They're like, you could list it for whatever. We even had people that didn't even have a realtor. They would be able to, like, if you decided you want to list your house for $1 million, if it had enough square footage, it would appraise and you could make it happen. You didn't need a realtor. And you had a lot of people get into the business then that they just got in and they wanted to help their mom and dad sell their house. And that was the only thing that they had, right? They didn't get into and learn, you know, okay, I got to learn how to get leads. You know, they just got in and it was easy. Everybody wanted to sell. And I'm getting to, you know, the people that got in and there was an influx of people that wanted to sell. A lot of people tried to collaborate and rely on, you know, the top dog during that time to give them business. And now that the pond is drying up, now that top dog doesn't want to give out any business. So, you know, me personally, I love collaborating with stuff like this, right? Mm. But I think in real estate, it's more of, I mean, it's just a cutthroat industry because there's so many people in it. And you can collab, but I think some of the worst people, the most cutthroat people are in real estate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sales, it's... Yeah, I mean, in saying what I said before about our industry, that's probably just because that's been my experience, because I haven't really had much experience with what I know is there too. I mean, there's a lot of people that are just super, you know, hardcore sales driven people yeah. in our industry. That's the case probably in just about every industry, but the market certainly, like we've got some properties, and we were actually just still have a general interest in looking at prices. We don't have any interest to buy anymore, but some of it, like even now too, especially around COVID, same, mm-hmm. very similar experience, like here in Australia, because I'm in Queensland. So Queensland's the is referred to as the Sunshine State. It's a lot of people, like especially during COVID, started migrating sort of up here due to things relating to COVID, but I think they're probably just also the catalyst. And then the prices, because the prices down south have always been traditionally more expensive, but they've just gone through the roof, like yeah. here in Queensland. And then even out bush, like in the country where it's always been a lot less, they've gone also through the roof. And we're looking at, my wife was actually just looking at something that she shared last night about a, what was it? About 2.5 mil for a property that was, I think it's about 10 acres, 5 hectares. And it was nice area, but it was just land only. And I mean, that's completely off the charts. That's like,
yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's a beautiful area. This is in a area called Nambour, which is on the Sunshine Coast a little bit. It's sort of up, like I'm in Brisbane, and this is about an hour and a half north. Beautiful area in the hinterland. Very nice, of course, but is it worth that? I mean, it's all once again made up. And I always find it really curious, really interesting. But I know the social consequences of that, like now and then into the future for people, are, you know, are far reaching too. And like it's hard to gauge what that's going to mean, but I mean, we'll find out, no doubt.
Yeah.
At some point. And so is your so the market is so that's the case obviously down where you are in Georgia too, but have you seen that trend, been observing that trend across the board in the US?
Yeah, I mean, especially in the southern states. I mean, it's the same thing as I guess what you're experiencing there. I mean, I had a lot of people from out west, out California, you know, they'll move over here during COVID. And I mean, we just, you know, they sell a property over there that's a 1,000 square foot, one bedroom studio for $3 million. And then move to Georgia, they can still buy their dream house for $800,000, and it's got everything on the river. And they're like, "This is pocket change. Of course, I'll buy it." Yeah. And it's all cash. So, and most people waive appraisal, so that's what drives those prices up.
Yeah. No, that's exactly the same thing that's been happening here too. And I guess it's probably, I would say, we'd probably have the same story if you went many other places overseas too. You know, it's the supply and demand. But actually, interestingly, now, because I speak with a lot of networking groups that I'm part of, real estate people who are saying that there's now, like after these last 2 years where there was big influx, now all of a sudden there's like a very big shortage of stock, very high demand, but very, very big shortage, because there was a big rush. Big, like, all the settlers, you know, coming in from in their wagon trains. All in their wagon trains, and coming in on the wagon trains, and then they're and there's like, oh, there's no land left, and so now, for like buyers agents too, there's a lot of, you know, really just hungry for stock, because that's the big issue now.
Yeah, that's you know, ever since they increased interest rate, you know, like here around like almost 6% is a good interest rate right now for someone with decent credit, okay credit. And you know, if you bought during COVID, you could get, I've seen some like 2.5%. So you're talking almost three times the interest, double the interest for the same property, which means double the payment. So if you have a 2.5% interest rate, it doesn't matter if your property is worth $100,000 more. If you can't find a house that is better for the same price or cheaper, like if it doesn't make sense, you're just going to hold on to that property. So a lot of people, I think a lot of people that bought with 2.5, 3% interest rate, I don't think they're going to sell. I think those people that bought during COVID over the next 5-10 years are going to become landlords. I think it's going to create a bunch of, you know, renter type wave.
Yeah, that's interesting point too, because I think there's certainly, for varying reasons, like people going, okay, I want to move, like either I want to get out of the city, I'm worried about the way the world's going, like, in, you know, some more extreme for some people, more for other people going, I've always wanted to move into the country, I want to have a change of job, I want to do this or that, then maybe for some of those people, then the reality of then that change seemed like a good idea, but then they changed their mind and then they're like, I'll just rent it out.
Yep.
Still, like you were saying, and I mean, I think there's going to be a certain, you know, percentage. I think you're absolutely right on that, but which I mean, you know, the far-reaching effects of how these things pan out is interesting, because I've certainly observed, because we've got like a property sort of further out in the country too, and talking to the people like out there, like in more country Queensland, they, you know, are sort of really surprised that there's all this interest in their area, when traditionally it's been like nobody's just wanted to go there at all. Like there's not many people there. It's beautiful and it's lovely, but then there's an element of it's probably not the point where they're like, there's too many like city slickers here. It's probably not at that point, you know. Yeah. And
like, that's why people are starting to look at it.
Yeah, but the potential, but there's a little bit of it. It's like, oh, they're just going to be coming here, like where the people that are living here, and like we have to, you know, deal with all the things that you deal with when you actually live somewhere and you get to know people well, because like it's a different attitude in the country. Yeah. Where people are more like, people are always generally nice, but there's more, you know, wanting to know who you are, you know, because you're probably going to be more reliant on people if you need a hand in the country, as opposed to in the city where people are just like, don't really care, don't really want to know my neighbor that much.
Yeah. Even though they're closer, never even talk to each other.
No, you don't even like know their name, and you see them all the time. But so I think that feels like certainly an element of wariness, I think probably understandably so in the country. But I mean, there's plenty of room for everybody, like especially in Australia and Queensland. There's like, it's pretty roomy.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you brought that up. I actually came from a town very similar to that. Like if you Google it, the population is 1,800 people. Mm. And that's where I grew up. And, you know, that's where people are going to be. I mean, just like you're talking about, that's where they're going to be looking at before, like if they're buying, if they can get it a little cheaper, get more land for a little a little less money. It's not overly populated, not too many city slickers.
Yeah.
That's where people are wanting to go.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I know there's people like us who've always wanted to spend, who've actually grown up, like, even though we've been city people really most of our lives. Like I've lived in Brisbane my whole life, but my family's from, you know, a smaller town. My wife's family is too. So, and we like being in the country.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like there's people who we've talked to who then also moved in the country. They've come from down south. They've left like everything behind, you know, and then other people, it's just a holiday house. I mean, there's any configuration in between that of like why people are moving to the country. But I find it really interesting. I mean, it's nice too. It's certainly nice for the people moving to the country, but and it's probably for the best anyway, because there's too many people in the cities anyhow. So
yeah.
It's so
I don't know though. Go ahead.
I actually read an article that you wrote, a blog post that was on your website, "This Won't Happen Again," which I found sort of interesting. Can you share like a little bit about what the catalyst was like for writing that post? You're going to look it up quickly.
Yeah, let me pull it up real quick. Man, you stalking me, man.
No. I'm just doing my research.
Let me pull it up. Yeah, so, oh yeah, I remember this post. Oh, it was the date. It was the date. It was a really weird date. It was 2-2-2-2-2.
Ah, yeah. Isn't it funny how, I don't know about you, and I'm not a numerology expert or anything, but I've always found, ever since I've been a little kid, I've always found significance in uniform numbers. I don't even apply a specific meaning to them. I just go, oh, that will be important, you know, for some reason.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I see certain numbers all the time, and you know, I almost take it like, okay, God is showing me something here. You know, this is a message.
Yeah. Like I actually, whether this is like mental memory or muscle memory or something, but like generally every day, you know, generally like not kidding, without fail, I'll look at the clock and it'll either be 11:11 a.m. or 11:11 p.m. And I'll just randomly look at it. I'll just look at it. I'll go, there it is again. Like, and
it means something, man.
It does. Like it's every, pretty much every day. And I don't know the meaning, but it always makes me feel good for some reason. I know it sounds really funny probably to a lot of people, but I always look at that and go, yeah, there it is again. That makes me, there's like an element of comfort. But tell me about like that on the blog, like why you were, what was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I said, I was going into, you know, this won't happen again. You know, this date, because it was a very rare date. And it reminded me of the movie Inception, where, you know, like everything is, you know,
sort of on a loop, and then
it's in a loop
on a layer.
Yeah. And, you know, it just struck an idea with me that, you know, that this world that we live in, you can sacrifice today, you can you can do whatever you want. But you gotta make change. And that's really what I was getting at in that post is, you know, think about what you want and don't be average. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's really easy.
Sacrifice today, go harder, you know?
And the reason why I'm, and trust me, and I promise I'm not stalking you. Because I was looking through your website and I'm just getting like a really good overview of, you know, what you do. And I saw that post and I guess the first thing was like, oh, Inception, because I like that movie too. So I saw that word there and then I read further and it kind of struck me too that there's a lot of times like good content or just like a good message, even if you've heard that message like hundreds of times before, is quite easily overlooked because people slap labels on it. Like it's a cliche because you're saying, so, you know, not to be average or this or that. Like it's very easy, I find, when you look at some things or more when you hear commentary about people talking about other people's content, they'll go, you know, that's been said, but, you know, heaps of times or whatever, and they slap this label on it like it's already been said, therefore, you know, what's the point of saying it? And for some reason that idea popped in my head when I was reading that, and I was going, that's like it's like in sport, and I talk about sport a lot because I like playing sport, you know, but that thing of keeping at something and doing something over and over and over again with practice,
it's a loop.
It's a loop. Yeah, that's right. True. Yeah. And there's a lot of power to that. You know, I find a lot of I'm not sure if solace is the right word, but like I find a lot of sort of comfort in doing, you know, ideas or reading things that even if they've been said like a million times, reading them again, you know, from another person's story like yours. And so I thought that was sort of interesting, considering that you're the things that you're talking about on your website, and there's a very big part of like your drive right now to help other people is like a really important part of what you're doing right now. You know, it sort of comes from within, I suppose. Like, how do you feel like from this point now moving forward with the business, and because you're doing coaching, right, too, aren't you? And is that mainly with people who are in the real estate industry, or is it with other people as well?
So I am open to coaching everyone. But, you know, I've decided to really push it out and niche down to what I know a lot. You know, I've been doing real estate 5 years, so I'm really focusing on those types of people. But, you know, I truly feel like I could help any business owner, especially if it's a sales type position. I think there's a lot of people out there in sales that they're misinformed about selling or even just business in general. Yeah. You know, business owners in general, they think, oh, I gotta sell this person on why my product's the best. You know, like people think of a door-to-door salesman like, hey, I got this, you should buy it. Yeah. Like that's, I think there's a lot of information out there that is it's misinterpreted or it's just completely wrong. And I think that's a big problem in real estate, especially. And a lot of these people, the people in this industry, they get into the business, either they don't think that they are supposed to generate leads, or if they do accept, okay, I need to generate leads. They have this misconception about selling that it's their job to sell everyone, that they're supposed to manipulate people into buying their product. Like, no, you're supposed to, as salespeople, as business owners, we do not manipulate people. We only sell people that want to be sold. Yeah. Like we don't create interest with that person. We only influence interest that's already there, you know?
Mm, yeah. And it has to be like that. I mean, you know, it's not news to anybody listening to say that, you know, nobody likes to be sold to. I mean, nobody likes it. Mm. I don't think there'd be a person in the history of maybe the only person who'd like to be sold to is someone who's thinking about, who's doing research on like how to sell, and they're interested in observing another person doing it to them.
but
that sounds like a bit of a stretch, you know, but people who are genuinely, I mean, I don't like it. I like when people, because people like to be able to share and to talk about themselves and what they're interested in. And yeah. I mean, it's not super complicated. It's, you know, it's like being genuine. It's another cliche, but cliches are cliches often because they are true and they're super powerful. And it's just, you know, people don't like to be sold to. And yep. People like to deal with genuine people, you know, no surprises there. You know, that's not rocket science. they want to feel like you genuinely care about. I mean, especially with real estate, it's going to be the biggest, you know, I've had a lifelong interest just in property, and my wife even more, and we sort of own properties and like looking at them and just general interest in it. But it's going to be like the biggest investment most people ever make in their whole life. So yeah. It's like, it's kind of a big responsibility, like to, you know, to then sell and help somebody find what they want, because it's going to be a huge part of their lives forever.
Yeah. And not to mention all the legal stuff that can happen during it. You know, in this blog, I was just looking over it while you were talking, and I put in here, if you hate your job, go harder. Because, and this relates back to what we're talking about. Whenever I first got into real estate, right, I had zero sales experience. My dad was a construction worker. Mm. You know, he was like, oh, you think you're a white collar guy now, huh? You know? And, you know, I got into sales thinking I've got to sell people. I've got to, hey, buy this. Yeah, I'm the guy. Yeah, yeah. And it ended up costing me a good couple months worth of business because I was misinformed, right? And I ended up hating real estate in the beginning because of that. Because the process to get new business was so difficult, because all the information out there, you know, like you said, it's I feel like that salesmen are being sold to not be genuine, or they're like, yeah. there's two extremes. They're either, you got to be a diehard snake oil salesman, or the other side of the spectrum is, oh, don't sell anybody, you know? And I think it's like you said, being actually interested in someone's problems. And if you can solve that, like, hey, why is this important to you?
You have to be like, you have to actually feel it, because people aren't, despite what any you know, sales theories or sales formulas might say. Yeah, I mean, there's always some element of truth in things, but people aren't stupid. People can tell when people aren't genuine. And yeah, maybe some people are more predisposed to then saying yes under duress, like under like going, you're gonna do this, you got like 20 seconds to do it. And they're like, oh my God, I gotta do it. And then they do it. But, you know, is that right? Is it moral? Is it, you know, is it going to come back to bite you anyway? So is it even from a financial point of view, is it the right thing? Because then if they, you know, I mean, even from the perspective, like even outside, if you're a salesperson, you go, haha, I tricked you and I got a bunch of sales. What are the metrics about how many of those people then shouldn't have done it because of their financial position, because they did it because they're under pressure, because they did it because there was emotional, and then it's going to come back to, you know, for someone, it might not even be the salesperson, it might be a bunch of other people who it has a negative impact on. So
what's your true ROI? How long are you really going to be in the business?
Keep that up. Those metrics, they focus on all the metrics, all the sales metrics, but what are the you know, social metrics and like the impact metrics and all that sort of stuff. Like nobody talks about that. They're just about, you know, if you're honest and like you do actually have to be genuinely interested, because unless you're an incredibly good actor, and you know, and if you are, then that's, you probably shouldn't be doing it if you're just going to be like swindling people. But like people can tell, and if you're there to help them out, I mean, that's kind of, and it sounds, once again, I mean, that's anytime anyone asks me and says, what's the thing you like most about what you do, like outside of the fact that I love, you know, making things and designing things and being a creative person, it's really just playing a little part in somebody else's journey is really cool to me. Like it's really, I always feel sort of privileged that I'm at someone's been nice enough to ask me to do that. And that if I can do like a good job, you know, then I feel very happy about that. You know, that's nice to me, you know, that I've had some part to play, you know, in their journey. And you get to learn what like other people do, which is also incredibly interesting, you know, because people do like so many different things, and you get to like have this little window, you know, into people's sort of lives. You know, wow, I never knew like the amount of times I was like, I didn't even know that was like a thing, you know, it's like
stuff like people are interested in what they're doing.
Yeah, no, that's right. Like for example, recently I did like a series of infographics, which is a industry organization that the infographics are all about the learning and employment pathways for people in the shipping industry, the maritime industry, about like the people that drive the ships, the engineers, all the people, and all the infographics are about the employment and learning pathways. That's like, that's really interesting to me. That's like, I knew there was obviously something like that would be happening, but to then have a little insight into it is great, you know. So you also do a podcast too as well, I hear. Rumor has it.
Man, that podcast, it needs to work. I've been recording. I need to start posting more. I haven't been posting recently.
Too busy.
Yeah. I mean, I've recorded the episodes, you know, I've recorded a few in the beginning, but man, I was like, man, I don't know if this is providing enough value for me to even post more. I got to get better at this.
Sometimes you just got to have like, it's funny you should say that, because, and like, I bet there's like every single podcaster who's ever done a podcast has thought exactly the same thing. You go like, who's listening to it? What's it like? What do people think? you know, all those things. And I think there's an element, like a lot of things, of just not even in the religious sense, but the faith that you're going to do it.
And just commit to it, leaning
yeah,
into it.
Yeah, you just got to, like, we're talking here now. I'm talking to someone like I've never met until this point, finding and so you can share what you do with our audience and people who want to listen. And that on its own merits is great, you know. Yeah. And so then if other people listen and it's got other some other great, you know, flow on effects, then for me, that's like a bonus. You know, that's the icing on the cake. I mean, that's the way that I've sort of been able to reconcile it for myself to make sort of sense
detach from the outcome and just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's love that. Yeah. It's the only way that like I have this constant struggle with myself when I'm playing squash too, with the, you know, sport of going, as soon as I start thinking too much about things, it's no good. I'm like downhill from there.
Yeah.
You know, it's going downhill. I just got to just do, you know, a sort of meditation, I suppose, just like focusing on the little things. I focus on the ball. And
yeah,
I've already got a certain skill level. You know, I'm sure most people would relate to this. It's like when you start, I'm terrible for overthinking things, you know, and I've got to constantly like push the instinct to do that out of my head.
Yep.
I've got to just like, just be in the moment, Saul, just like do it. And of course, if you're thinking that, then you shouldn't even be thinking that, because you should just be like in the moment.
Yeah. Just natural, just instinct.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I sort of took a little bit from that post too, about that idea, the power of just doing things, that the doing of it, it's like you getting, say, into real estate. You didn't know that the path was going to lead you to where you are now 5 years down the track. You didn't probably have some great mapped out plan from one through to five. You know, like I now look back and go, oh, that's interesting. We've done all these things. I wouldn't have never expected that would have happened. I didn't ever plan for it, but like you just kept doing it, and then you got better and you met more people. And they like what you're doing and you're helping more people out. And then it just sort of grows. And then you're here.
Yeah.
And and then in retrospect, you can go, oh wow, that was great. I'm happy I stuck at it.
Yeah, for sure. Man, I need to get back on the podcast game, man.
Yeah, no, you should. I mean, I'm sure that I mean, when I was originally thinking, I was kind of inspired by people like Joe Rogan and I mean Lex Fridman probably a little bit more, because I find the whole format interesting. You know, I think it's a great, and it's interesting too, because it flies in the face of like everything, which kind of relates to the hard hitting sales sort of thing too, that people talk about on, you know, social media, which we can talk about soon too, about social media and digital marketing, like people getting clicks, you know, doing things quickly, getting out there. And then podcasts, long form podcasts, fly in the face of like all that, because it's not a quick soundbite. It's not like it's just sitting down and listening and sort of spending time, you know, learning instead of rushing and like you know, being accelerated through this like funnel of information where you go, oh, I have no idea where I even am. It's just so, there's all this like stuff all around me. And it's just a mess and you don't remember anything. But
I think this long format content, man, I have made personally more decisions financially off of long format content than any of those short, like, hey, jump in this funnel and then boom, bang.
Yeah.
Like I think people really appreciate you know, long format, especially in stuff like this where we're just having a conversation, you know, because they can really, in a format like this, you really get to know a person. Like, is this person real? Are they genuine? Or are they putting on an act for the 60-second clip, you know?
Yeah, no, it's the only way you can do it. It's like, you know, but I mean, that's, once again, that's not rocket science. Like, if you just meet, if you, you know, met your wife years ago and you just spent, and you're like, hey, how you going? 5 minutes later, you're like, oh, I'll see you. Bye-bye. You know, and then you never see her again. You see her like for another 5 minutes, like a month later, and then like another 5 minutes or like 10 minutes, like a month later. You know, nothing's going to come of that. Like, it's just, you know, then, but that's like with anyone, like someone you, like a client or a friend, like, or family member or anyone, like, it, that's not new news to anyone. You know, it's like you just spend time with people. So why wouldn't it follow that if you're listening to content? I mean, there's certainly things that I listen to that are short. It doesn't mean that short things don't have some value, because they do. Yeah. But if you really want to get into sort of the nitty-gritty of some topic and you're open to like hearing what some other person's perspective, but generally just the story, you know, people's stories, because everyone loves a good story. You know, they like hearing about that's been since day dot, you know, people sitting around some campfire talking about how they hunted a saber-toothed tiger and, you know, and how it was fantastic, or any of the trillions of stories that have been told throughout existence.
Heck yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing that separates us all, is our story, man.
Yeah, and it's absolutely fascinating. Like and sometimes it's funny too. I don't know whether you ever have this, but sometimes I find myself, because everyone has a preconception about maybe what someone else might be like. You know, you see something about them online, or someone said something, or what have you, and we all have like some preconceived notion based on other information about what that might mean. And then you come to actually talking to the person, they're like, wow, that's just like blew my mind, their story about what they've done. It's just because you can only know so much in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
As opposed to just sitting down and like we are now, just sort of having a chat, which is great. And so I'm going to ask you a big important question. What's most important to you in life, Cameron, right now?
Most important thing, man. I would say just fulfilling my own potential, like just in that endless pursuit. I don't think I'll ever get there. I think it's limitless. I think everybody has limitless potential, but you know, I think that's what I'm striving for, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, I think that's, you know, the success, I think, is different for each person, you know, what success means to you. But, you know, what it means to me is just, you know, making sure my family's good, you know, and helping people. And, but if I can push myself further, if I can do more, like I'm going to keep trying to do more until I die. Like, I'm committed to that.
I think that sounds pretty good to me. Yeah. I mean, that's I always find the question, I think Lex Fridman asks it all the time, and I'm always fascinated to hear what people have to say. He always says towards the end of the podcast, he always says, what's the meaning of life? asked the same question. And some people are taken aback by it, and some people are like, oh, gee, and have to think like for ages. And I always find it to be a really interesting question, because it's sort of always implies to me, it always implies the answer should be some underlying secret that's super, you know, that's like this underlying thing that underpins everything. But to me, like, I would always probably answer it in kind of a similar way to that question I asked you about what is most important, because for me, like for people, it can, like, our meaning is not the meaning. It's like our meaning. It's yeah. It's like what it means to you. And that's, you know, it's, and for me too, it'd probably be pretty similar. It's like my family, you know, I love doing what I'm doing. I want to, you know, I don't really relate to the idea of retirement, not because I'm some like hardcore working dude who just wants to, I just love working, you know, because I like having breaks too, but I just like doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I want to just get, you know, generally better, but just keep doing it, you know, for as long as possible, it can be, and having like interesting experiences. And you know, speaking with different people too, from, you know, far across the other side of the globe.
Heck yeah, man. Dude, everybody wants to get off the train. Everybody wants to retire, get off the train. I personally think that is a lie that we're sold, that you can get off the train.
I don't want to get off the train. I like the train.
I like the train too, man.
I do. I like the train. I get very, anytime there's a, like, I don't really have sort of strict times where I have like a holiday as such, like in that traditional sort of way. But anytime I have a break where, say, I'm not doing, if that means that I'm not doing the things I usually do that I like, and I'm just doing nothing, that can last maximum 2 days of like just going, of doing nothing, because maybe I'm just really tired or something, you know. Right. And then after that, I was like, oh, I just want to, you know, I just have sort of really itchy feet, but I just want to be doing things because it's fun.
Got to get back to it. Yeah, get back to it. I'm ready to go again. Yeah.
Just talking to people, doing things. It's interesting. It doesn't have to be, you know, super crazy fast pace. It's just like the doing of stuff it's probably the attraction in sport too. It's just like that, the action of, you know, some element of competition is fun, but I think that's, I think that's only because if you feel like you got better and you were able to match yourself up against somebody else who's also good, that's always exciting to me. It's always, it's really exciting. And, you know, I mean, it's not the same as when you're talking with people, but when you're experiencing what other people tell you, and you're taking that in, it feels like it feels almost like sort of like a privilege in a way, and that you're able to find out information about other people. Now, I know that sounds kind of maybe a bit silly, because we've got the internet and it's easy to find out information about other people, but yeah, through talking to them, I mean.
Yeah, no, man, you can always learn something from anybody that may not be on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
Just from talking to them.
Yeah. So as we're, I guess, nearing the probably end of the podcast, I'll ask you at this point, Cameron, for a relevant quote that you would like to share. Doesn't have to be doesn't have to be from like someone famous. It could be like something that you've heard or something that you feel is relevant or even that you just really like?
Okay. There's a quote. I think Cardone says it, man. It's go big or go bigger.
I like it. I like it. As nice and flies in the face of all those fancy quotes.
Yeah.
And also actually for everyone listening to, for people who would like to find out more about you, about your wife Hannah, about what you do and everything else, what's the best place online for them to go to?
Yeah, so they can go to our website at theengler.com, or they can go to Instagram at Cameron Engler. That's the best places to get in touch with us.
Yeah, cool. That's fantastic. Thank you, once again, so much for the chat. It was really, really, really interesting. And have you got anything else you'd like to share just on a parting note with everyone?
Wherever you are in life right now, like, just don't give up. Just keep pushing. You know, some things they take time. Don't be so hard on yourself. And just everybody wants to try and, you know, they get upset and they attach themselves to results because they're trying to get off the train. Just like we were talking, don't be so caught up in getting off the train and just keep pushing, just keep working.
I think that's a great message. I think it's nice and simple, but I think in that is the key. Simplicity is the key. And I think that's an awesome message. And thanks again, Cameron. It's been really, really, really fun. So with that in mind, that's actually it for today, guys. Thanks so much for listening into our podcast yet again. Before we go, if you'd like to leave any feedback as well as suggestions for any future topics, just let us know. Thanks again for listening to the Grow Your Business podcast, and we'll see you again soon. Bye, guys. Say goodbye, Cameron.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business podcast.